activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
By your command.
There's a great disturbance in the Force.
Resistance is futile.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Exterminate!
Silent Breed is people!
I'll be back.
That sounds like something out of science fiction.
We live in a spaceship, dear.
I would like to call to order this fourth meeting of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Welcome, everybody. I'm your Admiral of the Fleet, Dave Nelson. Joining me is our Praetor.
When did this stuff change?
I found a list of titles on Wikipedia, so I decided to change it up a little bit this week. And every week I'm going to try to slip new ones in. So, Matt, you are the you're the Praetor.
I want to be the Prime Minister of Poopy.
Okay.
What?
Okay.
And now we're in fifth grade, Matt. Wonderful.
If you want to be
in my corner,
if you want to be the Prime Minister of Poopy, that is fine.
It's one of my strong suits.
Life goal.
Life goal to poop a lot.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to this
Sci-Fi Geeks
Club.
It's the Poo Show.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say thank you for welcoming to the Poop Show.
We're not usually this poop-filled this early in the show, so apologies.
Yes.
No problem at all.
Okay.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Let's do the official welcome. Our guest geek this week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Jackie Hearn, you are a puppeteer, a geek cheerleader. Now describe what a geek cheerleader is.
I don't know. I definitely would never be the kind of person that would be a cheerleader in any kind of way, but I think that a lot of my efforts in the last at least 6 months or last year has been about kind of supporting this community, this tech geek community that goes beyond different aspects and branches of Diamond Club or, you know, the NSFW or what was the NSFW show. That sort of thing. And, I just kind of feel like that I'm there to sort of help people get their message across.
Okay. That's
in many ways.
That's a good thing to do. That's a good thing to be, Jackie. I like that.
So, and then I do some fan casting, you know, for The Walking Dead. I have a podcast thing that, is called Walking Drunk, and I'm about to start one on House of Cards with the British Tech Network. I'm so excited about that. If anybody out there watches or is up to date with House of Cards, and or particularly also the British version, please contact me because we would like to kind of like go over that. So I'm excited about doing that. And then the other thing is that I work with Tom Merritt to help him and Brian out with Cord Killers.
You know, we get our guests so far. We've gotten really, really lucky on our guests. We've had some people that are way above our pay grade, and you are not. You are also above our pay grade. So if we seem starstruck, Jackie, there's a reason for it.
Are you kidding me? No way. No,
yeah, I am floored at the people that actually choose to come spend time with us.
That's amazing. I think you're absolutely completely off base there, because I've seen some of your previous guests as well, and those are people that, you know, really know their geekdom pretty well.
But you're...
And they're authors, they're, you know, I'm loving what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Appreciate you coming
on. Thank
you
very much.
Let's get into old business before we get into new business. Let's read the minutes, Brad. What did we talk about last week?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Really?
Oh, actually, I think now that I think about it more, take this more seriously, we talked about James Cameron giving updates on the new Avatar sequels that are forthcoming. Matt went over the top 10 anticipated sci-fi video games. I geeked out over the everything that you needed to know about the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer that was just released, and the little mini sort of vignettes about each of the characters, the main characters for the movie. Anessa, I believe, talked about Norman Reedus to star in Air, which is going to be a post-apocalyptic series, Norman Reedus of The Walking Dead.
Daryl.
And last but not least, Glenn Rubenstein, who was our guest, talked about the Fantastic Four cast being revealed for the new reboot.
And before we get into new business, old business, and Jackie, you want to comment on something that we talked about last week?
Well, you talked about Barbarella, the remake of that, and I was kind of surprised because I didn't notice that Barbarella is about to be a remake until I saw your last podcast or your last episode. And I am very, very familiar with Barbarella. I actually met Duran Duran several years ago, and I've seen them 13 times live.
Nice. Get out of here.
I actually know John Taylor, and I communicate with Nick Rhodes of Duran Duran.
Oh, my God.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
And so as you might know, because you're saying, you know, from your reaction, you may know that they took the name Duran Duran from Barbarella.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I'm extremely excited about this. However, what I saw was this remake will be a TV show. And I definitely get the idea of having a sci-fi, remake or the remake of Barbarella, but it should be a movie because it's so there's so many sexual innuendos that I don't know how that will fly.
If I may interject,
yeah, go ahead, please.
You have to kind of look at TV. Like, watch an episode of TV and see the stuff that flies. And compare that to Barbarella from the 70s. They're probably going to be able to get away with 90% of what happened in that movie, and no one will even bat an eyelash at it.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I mean, there was the machine.
The Orgasmatron?
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah, I just didn't know what I could say.
That's just fun to say. Say it with me. Orgasmatron.
Jackie, we did a whole show. We had a podcast called the Sci-Fi Film School, and we did a whole episode on that movie, and that was brought up a lot. So don't worry about it.
Oh, okay, all right.
So you're free and clear.
So I'm definitely interested in hearing about that, and you know what I did read up on it when I put this in my suggestion as something to talk about. I looked up about it, and I do remember now that for the last several years there was or in the last decade there was a lot of talk about a remake of a movie. And Drew Barrymore might have been one of the main prospects of a new Barbarella. And I don't know that I would like that, and I don't know how that makes me feel because of my connection with Duran Duran. But but she is a big fan of Duran Duran, so I don't know. I mean, you don't have to be a fan of Duran Duran to be in Barbarella. And Barbarella is definitely something different from that band. But I think that without that original 80s pop band, we wouldn't all necessarily be that familiar with that movie.
Yeah, I agree. It would be cool if they actually got Duran Duran to provide music for this TV version.
Like
of
closing credits have Electric Barbarella playing. That would be awesome.
Oh, you know about Electric Barbarella.
Oh, yes.
Okay, all right.
I'm a Duran Duran fan myself.
Oh, wow.
Well, you and I should talk, but yeah. Yes. Okay, that's all. I just wanted to bring that up because I heard that from your – because I was going through your previous podcasts and, you know, I came across it. So thank you.
Awesome. No, thank you.
Awesome.
All right. Okay.
Also, just because they've done a number of – it was a French – comic book, so they might have I think they might have enough material to, you know, at least do like on Netflix, maybe a short miniseries or something like that, 8 episodes, you know, 13 episodes, something like that, and be able to maybe sustain something and still have some of the sexual connotations, innuendo in there to keep it true.
You know what's interesting? I didn't include this in the news this week, but did you hear, speaking of French, the Heavy Metal, remember the magazine Heavy Metal back in the 70s and
yeah.
80s? And the movie Heavy Metal?
Yes.
There's a TV show that was French-produced, English-spoken. It's a science fiction anthology series based on Heavy Metal that Sci-Fi just picked up. So it's kind of interesting that you brought up the subject of France, and it's kind of along the same lines. Kind of risque, right? A lot of... A lot of girly parts.
Well, that was one of the things about, you know, growing up in the 70s and the 80s as I did, because I'm old. you know, if you wanted to go to the newsstand and sneak a peek of a woman when you were, you know, an adolescent, you'd pick up a Heavy Metal. And of course, you know, that launched so many fantasy artists. I mean, covers of Olivia, I think, did a cover of at least a cover of Heavy Metal, and you had Frazetta. You had a lot of the great fantasy artists at the time doing covers. So I mean, it's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
The first movie, Heavy Metal movie, was awesome. The second one was horrible.
The second one was what, Heavy Metal 2000 or whatever?
Yeah.
That came out, and this will make me sound really young, but late 90s, right? So I was like 13. So like that was huge for me because, shut up, Brad. I've always been a huge Heavy Metal fan, so I was like Heavy Metal and cartoon boobies, and 14-year-old me was leaping for joy.
All right.
My feet, not the other one you said.
Nope, I don't want to know. Okay, hey, moving on.
Moving on.
Say, do we have new business, Dave?
Yes,
please?
Actually,
for the love of God.
I want to talk about some stuff that happened this week. Okay. I don't think it would be right to do this podcast without recognizing the death of Harold Ramis. Ghostbusters was an amazing movie. Ghostbusters 2, I mean,
Of Heavy Metal, he did a voice in Heavy Metal for one of the vignettes.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, wow. I think Harold Ramis was great. 80s movies are like my jam. I watched, Dumb and Dumber is like the 90s, but I watched The Naked Gun the other day while I was not working at work.
I was thinking about that earlier, and I was wondering which of the movies was my most favorite. I wondered if I loved Groundhog Day, Ghostbusters, or Caddyshack the most. And it's really hard for me, but, I mean, while Ghostbusters is obviously the big movie that, like, really kind of affected my childhood and all that, Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day made me laugh and be very happy to no end. And I think that might actually be my favorite of those movies. But I don't know. It's so hard to pick.
See, I wish we had that problem now, where there were so many great movies coming out at one time that it was like, I don't even know what to watch anymore. And now it's like, oh, they're missing Fast and the Furious 14.
Yeah.
And people don't understand why I still watch. Like, I was in Madison for work, and I stayed up till midnight because The Mask was on TV. I haven't seen this movie in a while. Let's stay up all night.
You know, you can't knock The Mask. I mean, that was at the point in time where The Mask, The Crow came out, and both of those soundtracks were huge and so
ridiculous. That was like, what,
ridiculous.
Circa 1996, I think?
The Mask would have been
96.
I was still living in La Crosse, so The Mask was like 93.
94.
No, 96. 95,
really?
96.
Release date, July 29th, 1994.
Oh, well, let's make steak bets.
Oh, I like you. I like steak, too.
I'm just saying. All right.
All right. I think we got new business, right?
Yeah, I think we probably to keep going, or we...
Yeah. But, I'm so excited about the Star Wars.
All right, so Star Wars, a lot of rumors, a lot of news coming out, and nothing really confirmed yet. The latest is that Adam Driver, you may know him from the show Girls.
I do.
Will be playing...
Because I'm a girl.
Yeah, he'll be playing the villain in Star Wars Episode 7. He's going to be a villain in the vein of the iconic Darth Vader. Apparently, he was up for the role, as well as Michael Fassbender and Hugo Weaving.
Hmm.
So that's... Go ahead.
I just can't... I can't see a single person being Darth Vader. I can't see a... I mean, not that he's going to be Darth Vader, but, you know, he's going to be the next generation or whatever of Darth Vader. I can't, in my mind... envision what that character would look like. And this guy from Girls that I do watch because I think it's, like, absurd, you know, the way these girls act and talk to each other and all that, that just makes me so glad I'm no longer in college and all that. You know, I don't see him as... I don't get it. I don't get it. He doesn't scare me. Like the voice of
James Earl Jones,
right? Exactly.
And I think obviously, I mean, the original Star Wars came out long before I was ever born. But sorry, guys.
You know, leave it to you to make me feel really, really old, man.
Tell us what it was like living in the 90s, boy.
But hey, at least I can still relate to what it was like before everyone had a cell phone and, you know, Google in their pocket. Anyways.
Well, thank God for that.
I think shut up, Brad. Sorry. There's leaps and bounds difference between what could be done in the 70s versus now. So back in the 70s, and I'm a huge fan of, like, the 80s slasher films, like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street. Those movies, by today's standards, are garbage. But back then, you were forced to kind of use your imagination and be immersed in the movie, and the same thing with Star Wars. And now they can do... I mean, they don't need actors to make these movies. They can computer-generate the whole thing.
But, okay, but Matt, there needs to be a story, too. You can't...
Oh, no, I totally agree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, to cut you off there, but I think a lot of movies today rely on everything exploding.
Yeah.
Because the attention span of...
And
that's exactly it. You know, the statistics of how much stuff blows up in all the Transformers movies keeps going up and up and up, but the story itself goes down.
And that's one of the criticisms of J.J. Abrams' last Star Trek film is there was too much going on, and I kind of agree. You know, it was a good film, but I kind of agree that it was, like, there wasn't a moment where they were just sitting there. It was go, 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 go. And hopefully they don't do that with this. I mean, I want to see the story develop. I want to see the characters develop. And this villain has to be in the vein of Darth Vader, but it's got to be something different. You can't just clone Darth Vader in a new character, right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, the majority of the people want everything to blow up and everything to blow up right away. There's no longer people who really care about a story or, like, want to see characters develop.
You and check me on this, but Disney's backing it. You know, there's going to be a lot of money behind it, and I think that they spent a lot for the rights for this. So I think that they would definitely, even if it didn't do well in the first film, they would still stick with it and do, if they intend to do a trilogy, do the whole trilogy to do the setup. I think they've got the deep pockets to play the long game and actually make something good.
You could videotape a turd in the sun for 3 hours and label it Star Wars, and no offense to Star Wars fans, but they will, I mean, take all my money.
And... no! I refuse to see Episode 3. I will not give Lucas my money. I refuse. I saw 1 and 2, and I was done. I wasn't going to let him.
So many people will see it because it's Star Wars, and good for them, because, hell, I wish I came up with Star Wars, because, no offense, but I wouldn't be on this podcast with you guys.
So
I watched all of the prequels, and I stood in line. I waited. I did everything, and I was getting more and more and more disappointed. But I still did it, and I'll do it again, and I will do it for the rest of my dying ages.
That's the thing. When you enjoy something that much, I do it with The Simpsons. You know, I go, even if it's a work night, if a DVD comes out, I go up and I buy it.
Maybe you're that you're actually that young that it's different for you, but, you know, that you wouldn't do it. Are you saying you won't do it for...
No, I will. Oh, well, but here's the thing. Star Wars means nothing to me. I've seen each movie one time, and that's it.
Star Wars means the world to me. Like, Star Wars is my childhood. Not that I really care. I'm not like the major big fan, but it's my childhood.
Yeah, but what I'm equating it to my fandom of The Simpsons.
Right.
That's my childhood. So I'm saying, I will go at midnight. I will stand outside. I bought Legos, which I don't do because it was the Simpsons house, and 12 hours is just gone putting Legos together.
And that was quite the investment, too, right, Matt?
Yeah.
That was pretty expensive.
It was $200.
Yeah.
I had to get my wife to okay that purchase.
Yeah, I bet.
All right, so do you guys want to talk about the next casting rumors? Because
yes,
this is kind of a big deal. Apparently, Benedict Cumberbatch is in. As well as Gary Oldman is also in. And apparently Gary Oldman and Cumberbatch were competing for the same character. And what sounds like is they liked them both good enough to cast them both, and one of them got a different character. And it sounds like they may be kind of writing more to this other character because they like the actor so much.
So I wonder if they went the way of Mace Windu.
Oh, is that what happened there?
Yeah, well, they ended up just creating a character for Samuel L. Jackson, essentially.
Okay.
Which, I mean, Mace Windu was a badass. I mean, granted, I just said I didn't see the third one. I enjoyed the Samuel L. Jackson parts of the Star Wars I did see, but because it's Samuel L. Jackson. It's Nick Fury,
and
man.
He's sick of all those MRF-er... trying to say it without swearing.
Mofo?
Emming effer... No, I give up.
M-effering? Snakes on a plane?
No, I was going to say Siths on a plane, but, you know, whatever works.
Oh. Siths on a plane!
Boo!
No.
No.
No. Boo. I love it. No, no boo, no boo.
So, okay.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, so how do you guys feel about Cumberbatch being in his second J.J. Abrams space movie? I don't know if I like that.
Is it bad that I had to Google both of these guys because I don't know
who
they are?
Why is it bad that he's in it?
I'm just worried because he was. I don't want to spoil it for people that haven't seen Into Darkness yet. He was the baddie in Star Trek Into Darkness. Now he's going to be another J.J. Abrams film that also takes place in space that also starts with Star.
Isn't he kind of like, isn't Gary Oldman, like, in the same category? Like, aren't they both in the category of somebody who might be a Sith Lord type deal? Or am I reaching? Or did I read my stuff wrong?
I don't know. It doesn't really say anything in the story about what they could
but
be.
But what about Oldman?
I don't... Yeah, I don't know. It says the only other lead is Gary Oldman, who has discussed quite candidly how he'd been called about appearing in Star Wars Episode 7. Doesn't say in this story about what role he'd be playing.
Okay.
Maybe
you read
it someplace else. That's possible.
No. I'm probably totally confused. I did all this last minute, so.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't know. I don't know when I heard that this guy, you know, and I was like, who is he? And then I looked him up, and I was like, oh, he's the Sherlock guy. I don't know. He doesn't seem to kind of. I don't know. I think the bottom line is it's really hard to bring in a major actor for Star Wars
yep.
and accept them.
Yep.
And that's my problem. Because you know what? I'm so excited about the future of the next episodes of Star Wars that I'm so upset and so disappointed that Ewan McGregor has his name tied into those most horrible episodes that everyone hates. Because Ewan McGregor is an awesome person. Yeah. He's an awesome human being.
He's a great actor, too.
He's a great actor, and he's an amazing person all around. Like, he does a lot of stuff for UNICEF. He does all kinds of things. And yet, you know, we can't bring him back because, you know, he can't come back to the story. And the same with Natalie Portman. I love her to death. But we can't see her again.
There's just so much stink. There's so much stink on the prequels. It's like getting a disease, you know?
Yeah, it's a Jar Jar Binks disease.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that.
Oh my God, I got Jar Jar Binks
all over me.
All right, so the last little bit of the story is it sounds like the original actors, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, were supposed to originally only be like a small part of the story, but according to this story, it sounds like their roles have expanded, and it's the major part of the story is the Leia, Luke, and Han.
Yeah.
What?
Cool.
You guys excited about that?
I have a lot.
I'm so excited. I have no words. I have no words to give.
I have.
I feel that once again, this is from someone who's only seen each Star Wars movie once. But because originally, like Dave said, they weren't supposed to be that big of a deal, and now it seems like maybe they're going to be a big deal. They may have rewritten it because they're like, this might be a giant steaming pile of space, so let's redo it to make it not suck. I guarantee you I'll see this movie. My wife is a huge Star Wars fan, apparently.
You don't know your wife that well?
Love.
Yeah, she has. She's talked about how she's seen them a bunch, and for some reason I've never watched them with her. But I feel like this is the way to go, to bring back, you know, the original three and, like, make them a real part of it instead of just, like, kind of an afterthought.
And I was worried. I was worried at first, but then this story brings up the point that J.J. Abrams does a really good job of kind of bridging the past with the present, you know, including Leonard Nimoy as Spock in the reboots, you know, pretty well. He was integrated pretty well into those stories. So if he can do that again with Star Wars, then, you know, I'm pretty excited.
I'll agree with that.
It's going to be interesting.
You're all shaking your
Absolutely.
Heads.
Absolutely. And Gary Oldman, seeing him in the different parts that he's played, the first time I saw Gary Oldman was Sid and Nancy. And
Wow,
that left major mental scarring that I will never get over watching that film.
Oh, I had to think about what that was, but yeah, that movie is a bad time.
And he was Mozart, right? He was Mozart in Amadeus, right? Or am I getting the wrong guy?
No, you're thinking that's Tom Hulse was Mozart.
Oh, okay. All right.
God, I knew that, too.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I just realized he was Sirius Black in the Harry Potter movies.
Yes, he was. So he's got, obviously, he's an amazing actor, and he's got great range. He played... He was Jim Gordon in the new Batman film. Benedict Cumberbatch, if you've watched him do Sherlock, at least with this last season, there's with that particular incarnation, that particular portrayal of Sherlock, there is he plays a very calculating, intelligent... Well, I don't want to give anything away.
That was a very dramatic pause.
It was, thank you.
Brad is king of the dramatic pauses.
But he has the capacity to just emanate this intensity that some actors just don't have. So he could really sell. He could sell villain. Gary Oldman can sell villain. Hell, they could sell incredible good guy too, if that's their roles. They're just really, really intense actors who can make you believe that they are who they are portraying in the film. So I'm really kind of looking forward to it. This kind of conversely goes with the deep pockets thing I was saying before with Disney having a lot of money. The way the movie industry is constructed now, though, you can have the deep pockets as long as you have some of the bigger names coming on to help guarantee that you're going to recoup some of that money, which is why you'll never see them take a chance, I think, on doing especially something like this, more Star Wars movies, and not having bigger names in the films.
But you have to find bigger names that can work with people. Like, I think Christian Bale's a decent actor. I really liked American Psycho and the Batman movies, but by the time he hit the third one, that's kind of when he started losing his mind and treating people poorly. So if you get a room full of really big-name actors with really big egos, I think that can effectively ruin your movie too.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just table this for a moment.
Okay.
We're going to have a lot of months and a couple of years ahead of
us
to talk about this.
That's very true.
Principal filming starts in May at Pinewood Studios in London. So I'm guessing between now and then we're going to get a lot more details coming out and pictures, hopefully. So looking forward to more Star Wars news in the very future, near future. All right, let's move on to Matthew. What do you bring into the table this week?
First of all, actually, I think that was the best conversation we've ever had. Way to go, team!
Woo-hoo!
Constructive,
team geek.
Woo-hoo! Team geek, Alpha Squad, go! For my story, I know Dave posted this from the social Twitter spheres, but Nike is creating the Air Mags with power laces that were found in Back to the Future 2. Going back to my childhood, Back to the Future 2, and, you know, spank me if you wish. I saw Back to the Future 2 before I saw Back to the Future 1.
Oh. Wow, well, what's wrong with you?
I was a child, and when it was on TV, I would watch it. When I wasn't watching Back to the Future on TV, I was watching Billy Madison on repeat on VHS. I had such a weird childhood.
You think?
This is something that I remember seeing people brought up, and there's been a lot of photoshopped pictures on Reddit where it's like, oh, today's the day that Marty McFly goes into the future, but it's actually, and I'm probably wrong, but I think it's October like 23rd, 2015.
Yeah, so we are one step closer to actually having that stuff that they showed in the future reality. We have this, and then we've got the hoverboards to go.
Yep, the hoverboards, and they're actually lining up the release of these to be in 2015, and it is going to essentially, it's going to be the shoe you see in the movie. You put your foot in it, and you pull the side of it, and it like laces to your foot. That could either go awesome or horribly wrong. But the shoe itself is, like, in the movie at least, is made in the vein of, like, a high top. And I don't really know if kids are wearing high tops anymore. I'm fashionably inept, so they could be wearing high tops, and I'm just behind the times. But the pictures in the article show, I mean, Marty McFly holding the giant high top with the power laces. So I will not be buying these because these are terribly hideous looking, and I have no fashion sense.
And they're probably going to be really, really expensive.
I have a feeling they're going to be stupid expensive.
So they look pretty ugly.
Yeah,
to own a piece of that would be so cool.
What you do, you find four people with your shoe size, and you
split it.
And you all go in.
You get power laces on Tuesday. I get them on Wednesday.
But wait a second. They could probably not be a specific size if they're made the way the shoes were made in the movie. You wouldn't have to have a certain size, right?
I still feel like foot size itself is a length.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So Jackie probably couldn't wear the same shoes as me because she would be walking in clown shoes. I would pay to see that, but that's so I feel like the power laces itself is just in your ankle and over the top of your foot, but you're still going to have to pay for like a length of shoe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, Dave. Get with the times.
Sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I had no... I must have been... I had a moment of craziness. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I feel like these are something that, like, Justin Bieber would buy if he didn't retire from making crappy music and getting drunk and driving underage. But it's like... I think it's going to be, like, a novelty item to the incredibly rich and famous, and then, like, two people who shouldn't be buying them will own them.
But you know what? The way technology goes is a lot of times a company will introduce something like this, and there'll be a trickle-down effect. And there'll be other versions of this type of technology, if not exactly the same type.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
An adaptation of this type of technology, so.
I agree.
It's cool, either way. I think it's pretty cool.
I think it's cool because it's, you know, it's something from a movie from my childhood, probably your early 20s. You guys might have been 30 by that time. I don't know how old you all are.
Shut up. Shut your dirty mouth.
Sad trombone. I think that's cool because the market is people our age. So,
all right, is that all you got?
Yeah, that's it for me.
Is that
week.
All you have to say about yourself, there, Matt?
About these shoes. If you want to talk about video games, the South Park RPG comes out Tuesday, and Goodbye World, I'll be doing that.
All right. I can't wait to hear about it on next week's episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club.
Well, let me just preface this. The European market had to censor a couple of scenes because there are 2 scenes of abortions and 5 scenes of money probing.
What?
Wow! Hey!
Holy crap.
Yep. This game is going to be awesome!
All right. All right. Hey, Brad, what do you got this week?
Well, I can guarantee you it's not going to be any of that stuff. So with some of the changes in the proposed budget for the military, one thing that has come out here is that President Obama announced that the U.S. Army is actually building a real Iron Man.
Yeah, it's like some totally kick-ass like armored suit, right?
Yeah, it's like an exosuit.
And yeah, but didn't some like John Bob build one in his backyard a while back, and it was like air conditioned and everything?
So I'm sure it can be done, but this is like military.
Imagine
with a lot of that's happened in the past 2 wars that we've had. Imagine being surrounded by armor, essentially going. Into battle with that.
And this really goes
hands down.
And this really goes into the whole reducing the amount of military force that we have and making a small number of military better and more equipped to what they have to do.
No, exactly. And Jackie, I don't know if you saw the Iron Man movies at all.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if you were a huge fan, but
or even awake anymore.
No, I just,
she got a little quiet after Star Wars for the love.
I just didn't want to interrupt and
that is 90% of what this podcast is interrupting each other.
Yeah. No, go on about Iron Man. Go ahead.
So, anyways, some of the, you know, the Air Force and the Navy are putting, you know, more money into drones to kind of reduce some of the, you know, the actual physical people being enlisted. So the Army needs something kind of along those lines as ground forces, and having Iron Man type armor to wear
yes.
would help with that. And that's what they're actually working on. So they're working with 56 corporations, 16 government agencies, 13 universities.
It's nuts.
It is incredibly insane. I mean, it's very in depth as to what. Yeah. I'm a little concerned because looking at some of the backlog that they already have for Wounded Warriors, getting what they need, they're trying to coordinate working with all these agencies and everybody to try to make something that's going to keep soldiers safe. So I'm kind of nervous about that. And this suit of armor won't allow them to fly, but it would be power armor that would, you know, give them a little bit of extra strength to move things out of the way and also to provide cover and protection for fire things.
Brett, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but you may or may not know that Oshkosh Corp in Oshkosh does a lot of military stuff, which is 15, 20 miles south of me. So, it is not uncommon to see tanks coming down the highway.
Yep.
So I'm curious, and I would be very surprised if the government isn't talking to them for something like this. So I'm almost wondering if driving down the highway, I'll just see Iron Man come flying by.
It'll be interesting. And they're, you know, this is the first generation that they're building, and they're looking at by third generation having some form of like jump jet or something that will give them some aerial boost, essentially.
So that actually will be Iron Man, then.
Yeah.
But I mean, you think about it, to have it likely be a jump jet, because if you're giving them full, like, boost capabilities, then you're hauling around fuel, too.
Yeah.
Which
could be dangerous as well.
Exactly. So they might, you know, some sort of sustainable re-energizing, you know, oxygen or hydrogen or something, but I think full-blown flying is never going to happen.
Yeah, it would be. You'd be hard-pressed to do that unless somebody comes up with an arc reactor. That ain't happening.
Wait a second. Arc reactor? What is that?
That's a thing in Tony Stark's chest that powers the suit.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yep, and here we are in my geekdom, the comic books. So.
See, Jackie, we all have our specialties on the show. Now, Brad is the comic
I'm
geek.
Surprised I've kissed a girl.
Oh, wait a second. You kissed a girl, Jackie? Tell us
Let's
more.
Talk about that.
Oh, come on now. Let's move along, gents.
Cool. No. When a pretty lady says she kissed a girl, I want to hear that story.
Come on. So we were talking.
Hey, moving on.
Iron Man, military, contracts, go.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the whole change of the amount of money that's going to be put into military, how it's going to be kind of redistributed while having fewer basically boots on the ground, essentially, or boots available to be on the ground wherever. It's going to be interesting to see how they reallocate and try to do more with technology as opposed to, you know, having more lives and soldiers on the line being in military skirmishes. So that's this is sort of like sci-fi and comic books coming to life, and that's why I picked this, because it's just a lot of the things that we've read as kids back in my day, Iron Man was pretty darn cool.
No, you know what? I really like the stories.
Start to happen.
Yeah, I really like these stories of science or no, real life actually, or science fiction becoming real, you know? Like
I mean, our childhood. Now, I want to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in real life. Please, somebody make that happen. that would be awesome. I would eat pizza with them.
So we just need some turtles
pizza.
And radio electricity or radioactive, right? Something radioactive. Is that?
Well, the original movies, it was a radioactive. It was now. If you want to talk about the upcoming ones, apparently it is an alien origin ooze. As to how they become ninjas and standing talking, but that's a future show where there's more information.
All right, okay,
true that.
So, are we ready to move on, people, peeps?
And we're talking about something exceptionally cool. I'm excited.
All right, I believe this is Jackie's story.
Yes.
What? You're that's up. What you guys are excited about?
I am. To
really?
Hell with Matt.
Godzilla?
We hate each other. We like you.
That trailer is amazing. The trailer that just came out is amazing.
I have not actually watched it. I didn't know when it came out.
It's pretty damn cool. Not only that, we have Heisenberg.
Oh, yes! You think he'll make some meth and cook chicken?
Oh, my God. I'm really excited, but I'm also disappointed about...
What?
Well, I mean, it's like from the trailer or from what we saw, Godzilla is this, like, ocean monster that comes from the Pacific, and it's because we created the, you know, the nuclear bomb, and we are, like, invading, you know, or something, you know, related to that. And I don't even know, and that's my impression on the trailer. And I feel like that's not fair to Godzilla. Because Godzilla, I remember him, like, in my childhood days. I wasn't a big Godzilla fan, but my older brother was. And I remember my older brother being all about Godzilla and whatever. And he fought a lot of enemies. And he used to be kind of a hero. Yep. And now he's... the villain.
He's essentially a villain.
Let me.
I mean, Bryan Cranston. Yeah, he could be my hero.
Okay.
Because, you know, he sells meth. That's fine.
Let me propose something. Okay. This is an origin story, right? So yes. Maybe sure. He's a villain at first. All right. After they defeat him, or whatever happens in this movie, they realize.
But only Bryan Cranston understands him, right?
Yes. Yes.
He calls him at home.
That totally could be it. Yes.
Dude, I saw what you did in Tokyo. Not cool.
Yeah, not cool at all. On, yeah.
Wait.
Go home, Godzilla. You're drunk.
Yeah. Why did I get your mass text? Yeah. Right. Something like that.
But, so is this essentially, it's a reboot, right? I mean, someone just, yes. Just say yes.
Yes.
Because it's obviously, if it's an origin story, it's a remake. It's a reboot.
It looks like it.
So
they're
maybe.
Trying to wash the 2000 version. Yeah,
the Godzilla 2000 with Ferris Bueller in it.
Yes.
So maybe they are going to, rewrite him as being a bad guy.
Well, I don't want that.
Yeah. I would agree.
Well, maybe
it's like Godzilla and Gamera were. I mean, Gamera was like the champion of children, and Godzilla, you know, he stomped around on stuff, but ultimately he did the right thing.
Maybe,
you know?
Here's my reason. Okay, yes, he's like a large dinosaur or whatever, but the reasoning for me is that he's a product of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and a lot of the comic culture that came out of that, and just the way that he in many ways, you know, he's representative of the atomic bomb, that kind of thing. And I just kind of feel like don't make him this evil villain that's going to attack the United States of America? You know,
So, was the original Godzilla kind of the same, like, product of radiation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to make this Godzilla the product of the radiation accident they got from the earthquakes and the tsunamis from a few years ago?
Based off of what I've seen in the trailers,
I thought it would have been a product of childhood obesity.
God, what?
Nice face, Brad.
Going back to the point of Godzilla being a bad guy, maybe they haven't introduced the creature he fights. Maybe there's another creature in this movie that we haven't seen yet.
That's true. Have any of you seen the original first Godzilla?
I've seen some Godzilla from like long ago.
So,
because my brother was really big into it.
Yeah, so my question is, in the first original Godzilla, was he a good guy, or was he a bad guy?
Well, in the very, very original, no. It was about him representing, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Okay. But then after that, he became kind of an anti-hero, and then he became a hero.
See, I think...
And then he was, like, fighting against, like...
Other monsters that would show
right.
up.
Right, and then there was like, him versus King Kong and other areas.
I really, really, really want to watch one of those original.
Somebody else could jump in and tell him, you know.
Godzilla versus Mothra and Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla. And...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say
that. Oh, that's fine.
No, it's okay. It happens.
I've seen Godzilla versus Bambi, which I don't know if any of you ever seen. Brad, I see you're making your face right now, but it was obviously, it was 30 minutes of like hand-drawn cartoons, and then it's like, and now Godzilla versus Bambi, and it's just Bambi, black and white, six, yeah, and he just steps on it, and it's like the end. It was like well worth my 30 minutes and my dollar at the video store.
So, you know, I mean, it just makes me really sad because what I see from that trailer that's coming out with Bryan Cranston, which I'm so glad that he's there because he's so like Walter White in it. I'm very excited about it, but it seems like it is very kind of like, from my impression, Godzilla is going to be a complete villain. And
yes.
alien and attacking and because he's mad and he's pissed off, you know, so I get that he's pissed off. He's mad because we have, tried to kill him because of what the trailers have portrayed, that there have been, they said they were tests, nuclear tests in the Pacific, but you know that in reality it was that they were trying to kill him.
Trailer really, really paints a picture of the end of the world time. You know, it's like, we're all
everything
screwed.
Everything blows up in it, so it just kind of goes back to what we talked about before. People want to see everything blow up.
Well, that's the trend. I mean, look at Pacific Rim. They pretty much destroyed a bunch of cities in that movie. Let's see, Man of Steel. They destroyed Metropolis, right? Pretty much. So let's just keep the trend going, shall we?
Actually, I didn't see Man of Steel, so start the hatred.
That's okay.
From what I understand, I didn't miss anything, but...
Yeah. It was an interesting story, and I'm not going to hate you if you didn't see it.
We'll see.
That's coming from the comic book guy.
The second movie. Yeah, that says a lot. It really is tipping your hat there, Brad.
So do you recommend seeing Man of Steel before the, and I know you're not excited for it, but the Batman and Superman movie? I'll take that as a no. We don't have time to get you started.
Yeah, it's not bad to see, you know, some of the things that...
If I got an hour and a half to kill...
Don't put all your hopes and dreams into it. That's all he's trying to say.
Yeah. I'm not expecting much just from listening to you guys talk, but...
Okay. I think the acting was good, the premise was good, the execution...
All right.
But I mean, if you rent it out and watch it, it's not a bad flick. There are just some things that are just kind of head scratching.
99 cents, Redbox, man.
I'm sure it'll hit Netflix Instant Queue quick enough.
Yeah. All right, that's gonna pretty much do it for this episode of the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. Before we get out of here, any final thoughts on any of the stuff that we talked about tonight?
Nope. I had a good time. That's my final thought.
You know, I'm glad that you had a good time, Matt, because that is our ultimate goal, is to make sure that you have a good time.
No, I think we had a very awesome discussion about Star Wars with a geek that really, really knows Star Wars and And thankfully, Jackie's from the same time period, and so is Dave, that like we saw Star Wars when it first came out, probably.
Do you guys want me to start chewing on a Nook and wear a diaper? You treat me like I'm a baby.
Because you are, my friend.
You call me
dad, all right? So
it's a joke.
My final thoughts is thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been such an honor, and I'm so glad to be here. And please invite me back again.
Oh, we will. Oh,
absolutely.
And it's our honor to have
you. I want to see
on,
more
Jackie.
Of your puppets, and I just was taking a look at your website. I love that drawing of your rabbit that you have on there. That is amazing.
You have rabbits?
I have all kinds of things.
Okay. I got pet bunnies too.
Okay, Jackie. Before we leave, you have to do something.
Yes, sir.
You have to do something with your puppets.
Okay.
If you can, if you want to.
Sure. You guys talk two seconds. I just need to.
As we sprung this on, hey, could you do a last second puppet show for us?
Can you?
Are you guys familiar with you're all familiar with Justin Robert Young, right?
I am. I don't know if these guys are.
No.
I'm a big
Sadly,
fan.
Sadly, no.
Oh.
Yeah, these guys aren't really on the whole Diamond Club NSFW train.
All right. Well, here's Justin Robert Young, and you can see him, and he's gonna say, "I tell you what." Like,
because
that's what he says.
Yeah, he does. Definitely. Yeah.
See, now I have to check out your puppet videos and the stuff on the Diamond Club.
Oh, yeah. You should. You can go to my YouTube. It's just Jackie Hearn. And we've got Captain Morgan, where, you know, you got, ahoy, it's me, Captain Morgan.
I see him right here. Okay.
you can do all that, but... But no worries. Like, that's all just for fun and promotion. it's one of the things I do.
Okay.
Do you know who Leah Laporte is?
I do.
Yes.
And Brad does.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
we all do.
Here's Leah Laporte.
Did you make these yourself?
Huh?
Did you make these yourself?
Of course.
They're awesome. They're really good. I like
I'm really impressed.
Oh, thank you.
He looks like Leslie Nielsen in Dracula.
Yeah, well.
Dead and loving it.
He does kind of look like a Dracula. You're right.
Yes, he does.
Totally
he's hunched
does.
Over.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I can't thank you guys enough for having me on.
Oh.
I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Thank you, Jackie.
Well,
we appreciate it.
I'm glad you tolerated our shenanigans and tomfoolery.
Where can people find you, by the way?
You can go to JackieHearn.com or JackieHearn81 on Twitter.
All right. And you can find us at GalacticNetcasts.com. Subscribe to this show and our numerous others on the network as well. We'd love your feedback, too. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. That's our email address. Or call our voicemail, 805-328-3966. Follow Galactic Netcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+ as well. And thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for watching. And I call this meeting of the Sci-Fi Geek Club closed. Hang on, I got a thing for that.
Oh,
there it is. Finally, he has it.
The gavel. Yes.
All right. Woo-hoo! We'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks, Jackie.
Thank you,
Jackie. It was nice meeting you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye, Dad.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to GalacticNetcasts.com.